Welcome to Evolve Live Success Through Adversity podcast, presented by Flagler Health Plus. This podcast shines a light on experiences of people in the private and public sectors. You'll hear how overcoming obstacles has shaped their perspectives and made them better prepared to meet new challenges. Here is your host of Success Through Adversity, the publisher of Evolve Magazine, Howard Holley.
I am Howard Holley, publisher of Evolve Magazine. Welcome to our Success Through Adversity podcast. Our guest today is Vincent Johnson, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at Flagler Health Plus. Flagler Health Plus is located in St. Augustine, Florida, and was founded in 1890, 132 years ago. It has over 300 beds and over 1,000 employees. It is a nonprofit healthcare system and is rather a significant player in St. Johns County and Flagler County. Now, a little bit about Vincent. He graduated with a bachelor's degree from UVA and earned an MBA at Everett University, also in Virginia. Oh, UVA, for those that don't know, is University of Virginia. He has been coast to coast in pursuit of his career. We will explore that more. Welcome, Vincent.
Thank you, Howard. Pleasure to be here today.
Pleasure is mine. Now, Vincent, I didn't know before I got here that we're both Virginia boys. Now, you spent a lot of time there, but you're actually from Brooklyn. I spent a lot of time in Brooklyn, but I'm actually from Virginia.
Exactly. It's amazing the different points of connection between individuals when they get together and start talking about commonalities.
Yeah, isn't that true? And it closes the gap quickly when you can find those.
Yes.
So let's talk about your career and how it came about. Could you describe the journey you took and the major influences on that journey?
Sure, be happy to. I think from a very early age, I was always interested in hospitals and hospital administration. My mother worked at Brooklyn Jewish Hospital in New York as a speech therapist. And so even from the time I was 7 or 8, I was exposed to hospitals because Catch 22, which is the area that she worked in, was directly in the hospital. And so they did a lot of exams for people, audiology, checking their hearing and those kinds of things. So I was exposed to hospitals at a very early age. And after that, I was very fortunate. And you talk about touchstones or things that were important. My father is the greatest influence in my life. Mm-hmm. He was my hero. He was an attorney in New York, and he allowed me to get exposed by one of his clients, which was Woodhull Hospital. He represented Woodhull Hospital. Mm. And so I got a job in high school in the accounts payable department. So learned a little bit about the fiscal side of healthcare, learned a little bit about the caring part of healthcare. And so really from the time I was 12 or 13, I realized that that was a field that I wanted to get involved with. I do believe that healthcare is about a calling. It's mm-hmm. about helping mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. And so that really spoke to my ability to both give back and then make a difference in my community and in healthcare in general.
But let me poke on that a little bit. Your major at UVA was history.
It was.
Help
it was.
Explain that.
Yeah. So a couple of reasons why I was a history major. One, because I really was interested in history. It's something that I found history repeats itself. Mm. And so being able to learn and to understand where we've come from mm. helps us to determine to a certain extent where we're going and why. History was something that I was very interested in. Secondly, I was good at it. I was good at kind of recalling some of that information. And, you know, I always thought that if there was ever a chance to become a lawyer, history was something that I thought that background would treat me and suit me well. Mm-hmm. So history was something that I kind of had a natural gravity towards, mm-hmm. natural proclivity towards.
But there are many institutions that have degrees in healthcare administration after history, which I completely get, by the way, Vincent. You went to an MBA.
I did.
So was it because you saw administration in a broader way and what you felt your learning needed to be?
I did. I felt like it was really two reasons. I felt like it would round out what I needed to learn from a financial standpoint. Part of an MBA is getting that mm-hmm. that background in accounting, that background in your balance sheet and your income statement, learning about other parts of the business that you normally wouldn't learn if you're just kind of doing the everyday blocking and tackling of healthcare administration. At that point, I was really working in the revenue cycle side, so the business office. And I knew that if I was going to make that transition from sending out bills and working with insurance companies to get paid, if I was going to make that true transition over to administration, which was involved with all aspects of healthcare leadership, mm-hmm. I needed to have that MBA, that Master's in Business Administration, to help round me out. And so that was the reason why, at the same time I was working, I got my MBA. And so kind of took the track that way, which was a little bit less traditional than your normal. You get your undergraduate degree, you do an internship, a residency within business within healthcare, and then kind of move through the administrative track that way. I kind of did all of that like on the fly, if mm-hmm. you will, and kind mm-hmm. of had a less than traditional path to where I'm at right now.
And that's what I want people to hear, is what those paths are. Now, you started in the healthcare industry after college, as you indicated.
Yes.
But then you shifted to higher education. Now, you were still in healthcare, but healthcare and higher education is a little different than healthcare for nonprofits or profit-making healthcare organizations.
Very true.
How did you end up, and why did you end up there?
I think it goes back to my foundation of wanting to give back and mm-hmm. wanting to understand community in a broader sense. Mm-hmm. And what I really enjoyed, and when I made the transition from your traditional community for-profit healthcare. The last role I had was with a for-profit in Gainesville, mm-hmm. North Florida Regional Medical mm-hmm. Center. And I saw that when I was involved with Leadership Gainesville, which is a program mm-hmm. that allows you to see a lot of different aspects, not mm-hmm. of just healthcare, but how organizations work.
Yep.
And my eyes were opened when I met a gentleman who was the CEO for Shands Gainesville, mm-hmm. Tim Goldfarb. And we started talking about all of the different aspects of healthcare and all the different parts that an academic medical center touches. And one of those was definitely in the area of community impact mm-hmm. and community understanding of the things that we offer. Mm-hmm. And that broader perspective, Howard, on what that could allow me to do from a career perspective and an impact standpoint really led me to the academic medical center and led me first to the University of Florida, Shands Jacksonville, and eventually to the University of California, where I was the chief operating officer at UC Davis, as well as the executive vice president for University of California, San Francisco for a period of time yeah. while I was out there.
What a great set of experiences. Let me go back on your Leadership Gainesville. In many cities, though, that program falls and is managed by the Chamber of Commerce. Was that the case in Gainesville?
That was exactly the case. It was managed by the Chamber. And again, it allowed for a very diverse group mm-hmm. of individuals to come together and really talk about thought leadership and engagement from everything from literally from a farm. So going to see a working yeah. farm. Yeah. Yes. To going to see a hospital, mm-hmm. to going to see a construction company, to going to see the arts and sciences and the museums and the different aspects. And so it really opened my eyes in a lot of ways at a time when I was really laser focused on hospitals, 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 and trying to change my perspective on looking and broadening that scope to not just what hospitals provide in the four walls of the mm-hmm. hospital, but also that outreach and the other opportunities it provides for a community.
So that kind of builds or leads to the fact that you've recently joined the board of the Palm Coast Flagler Regional Chamber of Commerce.
That's
and so,
correct.
You know, first of all, I'm on the board, so with full transparency and welcome.
Thank you.
And look forward to working with you.
I'm excited.
But tell me, what do you want to bring to the chamber and to the business community in Palm Coast?
Great question. I think the most important thing that anyone can bring to positions where there's the ability to influence and impact is perspective. So my goal, and I've had many conversations with the leadership of the chamber to bring a set of perspectives that may be a little different because of my experiences So as an African-American man in a community and in the business that I've chosen to be in, there are a lot of things that are very unique to my experience and the things that I've, the people that I've engaged with and the things that I've had to deal with in my career. And so one of the things that I definitely want to bring is that a different perspective. I think that what's interesting and exciting about Palm Coast is the art of the possible. That the majority of the businesses there are smaller businesses. There's not a large, mega company that stands in the and really has a large influence on everything that happens from both a business perspective as well as a civic perspective. And so that ability to have those small businesses and the independence associated with those small businesses is exciting. And I think there's definitely a desire on the part of Palm Coast to continue to evolve, to continue to...
That's a good term.
I thought you'd like that one. To continue to evolve and continue to look at the opportunities both to attract businesses, both, you know, at many different scales. And frankly, what I really liked, and I just had an opportunity yesterday to be down at Daytona State College, and we talked with the leaders down there about what they're doing from a clinical perspective, looking at their, we walked through the simulation laboratory and saw the hands-on approach to teaching and learning for nursing students, for scrub techs or OR techs, for lab techs. And that ability to grow the business and grow that caregiving opportunity is incredibly exciting because those individuals will be able to have the opportunity to stay in their community, make a difference in their community, and grow along with the community. So very excited about what the prospects are within Palm Coast and what's going to happen over the next 5 and 10 years.
Yeah. Well, welcome again, and we're looking forward to your perspective.
Thank you.
So what attracted you to Flagler Health Plus? What brought you to this community and to this institution?
Another great question. Without a doubt, and again, I've been blessed to be in a number of different hospital organizations, healthcare organizations, businesses throughout the country. The thing that...
Excuse me, miss. That's why I'm asking the question.
Yeah.
When I look at, again, the perspective caused by your experiences, I'm trying to bring it home to why here? Why here?
Yeah, yeah. And so why here more than everything and than anything else is the people. I have been, again, in a lot of different hospitals, but I can say I have never been in a hospital or in a healthcare organization that has such a belonging to the community, and the community belongs to it. So you mentioned in the opening about how Flagler's been around for over 130 years. Whenever I do orientation for new people who are coming into the organization, I make that statement. That the organization has been in here in existence over 130 years and the doors have not closed. And the doors will not close because we have grown and will continue to grow with the community. And just like we're talking right now, you know, we're in the prospect of looking at potential partners, acquirers, whatever words you want to use for it. But one of the main goals and objectives is to make sure that there's a commitment on that part of the organization, that they understand who we are, that they understand how important community is to us. I've never been in a hospital where literally parents and grandparents have been born in the same hospital that now our nursing staff and other caregivers and executive assistants and others have lived and grown up in. And so that family atmosphere, that family community, it really is. The same people that you're seeing in the hospital are the people that you see in Publix or at church or in a number of different aspects of what's being here. So without question, what drew me to here was the community, and particularly where I am at my point in my life and in my career. It was really important to be in an organization where I could see the ability to make a difference and really be a part of the community.
Good. Excellent. Excellent. So, Benson, we're going to wrap up this podcast. But as you know, the premise of it is that overcoming adversity is a critical component of achieving success. Now, when I look at your experiences and what you've done, I'm not sure that the reader, the listener, would believe that you've had any adversities or challenges. So why don't you share with us, if you have, and how they contributed to where you are today and your success.
And thank you again for giving me the opportunity to share some of my experiences. Without question, there's been adversity. I think that there's no way that you can continue to work within any chosen profession without coming across opportunities for growth, for development, for challenges, and overcoming those challenges. And I think that, you know, I try to approach everything from a godly perspective, thinking about it through how my Lord and Savior would want me to respond and react, and really a lot of times being thankful for those changes and those challenges because they do help you grow. Just a couple of examples. I think, you know, one of the things that's always difficult is trying to get what I'll call the bona fides initially of being able to continue to evolve in your career. So, for example, we talked about a little bit on that traditional track of what I've chosen. You go to college, then you get your master's degree, and then you're quote unquote ready to be in hospital administration. My career was a little bit different. When I came out of college and got that first job in healthcare, I knew that I had to work and support myself, and I was just starting a family. And so I needed to support my wife and my child at the time. And so there wouldn't be an opportunity to go back to school full time. And so one of the first pieces of adversity, you know, again, I had made some applications to some schools. They were willing to accept me, but it had to be a full time role. And so I had to find a different path and a different way to do that. I was fortunate in that I was able to go to school part time and as well as work. And so that was, of course, a challenge, trying to balance all of those things. But it really worked into my favor. So that as opposed to then having to go and find a program after residency, my school and my job created the ability for me to continue to work and get that on-hands training at the same time I was working and going to school. So I didn't have to just kind of leave my job, thank goodness, and then do that. The other thing that allowed me to do is to get a certain amount of tuition reimbursement as I went to school. So that helped make school a little bit more affordable. So that's one example of some adversity that I kind of went through and kind of had to work through like a non-traditional path in order to get where I was going. I think the other thing is that the art of the possible, meaning don't allow anybody else to define who you are. If you look at, again, at some experiences, some very successful people, it's those that are not in kind of a line of a traditional way of doing things. So you have to be willing to take risks. For me, one of the largest risks that I take was to go out to California. My wife and I and my children, we had no ties to California. I had been to California one time. But the opportunity that role of being the chief operating officer at a large academic medical center would provide for me and my family was just too good to pass. And so you have to be willing to step out on faith and step out on your competence and your technical capabilities in order to make a change and make a difference. And so I would say that another part of getting over adversity or striving through adversity is that willingness to take risks and knowing that, you know, if you shoot for the stars, you end up in the sky. And so always trying to look at ways in which, okay, no doesn't mean never. No just sometimes just means not now. And so how do you turn that not now into when and have a time frame and a strategic plan for whatever engagement that we're trying to do? Sometimes it takes a year, sometimes it takes 5 or 10 or 15 years. But whatever it is, have an eye on what that looks like and understanding that, you know, headwinds are going to come, but it's about how you face those headwinds and how you persevere through those headwinds and make a difference in those opportunities and those times.
Absolutely. As you know, my family and I moved to the West Coast as well, to San Diego. And I did a podcast with someone maybe a few weeks ago. And in talking about adversity and challenges, they talked about something that it appears applies to you, is that they generated often their challenges by making change themselves. In other words, they said, I'm going to go here because I want to learn. I'm going to go here because I want to. And so they really created their own challenges because they wanted to be better.
Yes.
They wanted to learn. They wanted to overcome that challenge, you know. And I had never thought of that before. I always had thought before of challenges being something that was imposed.
Yeah.
Rather than something that's self-initiated.
Yes, yes. I think that's an excellent point. And I think that it's so important to have the appropriate balance of being patient, but also acting with a sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
Because to your point of generating or creating the challenge,
mm-hmm.
I'm a firm believer that, you know, iron strengthens iron. And so the more you put yourself in positions where there are things that are unknown, but you persevere through those things and those challenges, the better you are. And the better you're able to share your story with others, because again, that the idea of not having a quote unquote traditional path, the idea of going through adversity is something that applies to every single one of us. Mm-hmm. And so we learn by hearing and learning about the stories of others and taking what parts apply to us and then using that to tell a story in a different way and tell a story that will resonate with somebody else who's able to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And that I truly believe, particularly as, you know, we get older, how important it is to give back to that next generation mm-hmm. and the generation after that,
mm-hmm.
who, quite frankly, may see things a lot differently than the way that mm-hmm. we see them. But there's always a pearl or pearls that can be given. And that's our goal and our obligation to give back in that way.
Absolutely. Amen, as they say.
Sure.
So you've been listening to Success Through Adversity. Our guest today is Vincent Johnson, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at Flagler Health Plus. Vincent, thank you for your time and your words of wisdom.
Thank you so much, Howard. It's really a pleasure.
I am Howard Holley, publisher of Evolve Magazine. We welcome your feedback and suggestions from listeners. Please let us know what you think at editor@evolvemagazinesflorida.com. And if you want to listen to this to other podcasts, rather, visit evolve-success.com. Thank you very much, and be good.
This has been Evolve Live's Success Through Adversity podcast, presented by Flagler Health Plus. Subscribe to listen to more podcasts at evolve-success.com/subscribe. Send your comments to editor@evolvemagazinesflorida.com.